Happy times are here again. It's Election Profit Makers, your home, your guide, your favorite podcast about winning and losing money on political outcomes and current events. I'll say it again for those in the back. It's about winning and losing money on political outcomes and current events. My name is Kid Miser, Wave Rod, joining the line by Longo Silver John.
Hey, David. Hey, everyone out there in podcast land.
Yeah. What's everybody up to today in podcast land? I can't help but wonder.
Yeah.
They could be commuting.
They could be.
They could be preparing a meal, or they could be washing up dishes after enjoying a meal. They could be, check this out, walking the bathroom or mopping the dog. Get it?
Mopping the dog.
I like switched the two things. You thought I was going to say mopping the bathroom or walking the dog?
Yeah.
I said walking the bathroom and mopping the dog. You got to pay attention. You have to listen. This is a close listening podcast. This is not one of those podcasts you put on in the background while you brush your kitten's hair or fix all your lampshades in the house. You know how people do a bunch of bullshit tasks and they're like, mm-hmm. I've got to dust all my wall sockets. Let me put on this podcast about women being murdered all the time. And then they put on the most gruesome thing in the background while they like clean their bicycle chain. You know what I'm talking about? Or fix the ribbons on their doll's hair and their doll collection.
Fix their bicycle chain.
Yeah, you know, like oil up their bicycle chain.
Yeah.
The chain is the part of the bike that connects the pedals to the wheel. The sprocket connects to the wheel.
Do chains come off bikes anymore?
On my bike, yes, constantly.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then I have to pull over, get out my little, because I usually bike with a courier bag. I have a little baggie full of rubber gloves. I'll take out a rubber glove so that my hand doesn't get dirty. And then I go back to my derailleur and I move the little wheel, the little arm forward so that there's slack in the chain. And then I restring the chain on the front sprocket.
I feel like in the old days, you could kind of get it back on without stopping.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you put your hand down there, but you just kind of like kept going and then it sort of worked its way back on.
That sounds really dangerous.
I don't know. It's been a long time.
Been a long time since I rock and rolled. What about you, John? Led Zeppelin, anyone? Black Dog. Remember that? Misty Mountain Hop? Mm-hmm. What's that? What's that all about? I'm in real morning zoo mode here, John. Hey, guys, remember Led Zeppelin? Misty Mountain Hop? What's that all about? A stairway to where? Heaven? That's going to be one tall stairway. All right, I'm done.
Cashmere.
Yeah.
Da-da-dun. 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 You know, the Charlotte Hornets, when they first came to North Carolina, that was their hype up music that they were introduced
That's
to.
That's kind of esoteric hype up. That's pretty good. That's good hype up music.
Yeah.
Huh. I remember once seeing a crazy movie called Bad Lieutenant starring Harvey Keitel and his little penis. And
what?
It's a famous.
He was naked.
Yeah, he gets naked. It's a famous scene of Harvey Keitel completely naked and crying. That was an infamous movie. And at the over the closing credits, they had Schoolie D, the legendary Philadelphia rapper, rapping over the beat for Cashmere. The song is called Signifying Rapper, I think. I'd never heard it before. I was a Schoolie D fan. I was like, wow, this beat is very tough. Using Cashmere as a hip-hop beat, it's pretty tough. But when it comes to tough Led Zeppelin beats that you could rap over, we must give props to When the Levee Breaks. What a beat. John Bonham, the drummer for Led Zeppelin. He's passed, but he was a great drummer. That's the end of this segment.
And we're back.
All right, John, there's much to discuss. Let's talk about the next EPM fundraising project. Longtime listeners know that in 2016, we had a program called the Ban Wars. This was a longstanding fundraising effort where you could donate money to have your friend banned from listening to Election Profit Makers. That turned out to be an unexpected success, and I think we raised around $30,000 for voting rights organizations. I think it was a Stacey Abrams-inspired campaign. Mm-hmm. And then in 2018, John, when did we do the J.D. Vance billboard campaign?
2018?
Was that 2018? Or was that 2020?
No. 2020.
Must have been 2020.
Or 2022.
Was it 20? It was 2022. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
In 2022, we raised a lot of money to do some J.D. Vance billboards. That didn't work because we didn't raise enough money, but we raised like more than $10,000.
Yeah, that was it. We didn't raise enough.
J.D. Vance, you have no chance. You know why. Someday those billboards will catch up to him. Well, folks, it's time for a new fundraising effort. This is the most important one of all, and we're setting a very ambitious goal. President Trump, it turns out, cannot post his $500 million bond in the, which case is this? The New York fraud case.
Yes.
So we are launching a fundraising campaign to help raise money for President Trump, and it's called the Diarrhea Slurping Campaign, and our goal is to raise $100 million. So you need to slurp diarrhea and then send us $100,000. Contact at electionprofitmakers.com via PayPal or I was going to say the other one is called Quiznos, but it's called Venmo.
Yeah.
And we're going to help out.
Okay.
You know what? That wasn't actually as funny as I thought it was going to be the other night when I was chuckling about it. But anyway, John, this is just a fun roundabout way to talk about the fact that this guy can't post his money. What's going to, and no one's giving him money and no one's bonding him money and no one's loaning him money.
It's un-American that this is happening.
Speak on that.
This is not America.
Mm.
He should not have to pay this money. This is a witch hunt. Is it a witch hunt?
I was going to say, witch hunt? Which hunt are we talking about here? Oh, fuck. Oh, I just impeached him with wordplay.
He owes $500 million. God, that's a lot of money.
I got very excited when I got the push alert that said his lawyers are like, listen, we've asked like 50 companies.
Right.
No one will give us the money. Maybe because the crime is literally falsely inflating your financial assets to secure loans. And now he's been found out and now no one will give him a loan.
So what is going to happen if he can't pay it? They're saying that they will seize his assets. He does have assets. He still has real estate.
Yeah, but I bet a lot of those are underwater because they've been used as collateral for other assets.
So what
Don't ask me what that means. It's just something
okay.
I read on the
all
internet.
Right.
No follow-up questions when it comes to all this legal stuff. I can't tell what the
seems
fuck is
like,
going on.
All right. Okay.
Don't ask me to speak on Judge Eileen Cannon, whatever her new thing is with the documents case. All I know is no one's getting in trouble for any kind of documents. Jack Smith has been barking up the wrong tree.
It's completely true. I'm finally on board. Nothing is going to happen.
It's
going to
be Stormy Daniels and the real estate stuff. It's going to be New York City. It's going to be New York. Because Merrick Garland, if Merrick Garland is in charge, not really going to be happening.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the Al Capone getting him with tax evasion. They're going to get him on this sort of BS thing in New York.
The non-treasonous stuff is what's going to bring him down. Let New York handle it.
Yeah.
New York will take care of it. Although, on the other hand, the Stormy Daniels case, which I got really excited for, now that has also been delayed.
Yep.
Man, oh,
because the court system is definitely working for Trump.
Well, it'll be fun when they start seizing his assets. And I think they should do a public auction because that would raise $1 trillion. Imagine bidding on all this shit from the Trump Tower and the Trump offices. You know what I mean? Like staplers and stuff. Do you know how, like, you think Joe Scarborough wouldn't pay $50,000 for like a Trump toilet seat? Doesn't it just seem like the kind of thing that someone like Keith Olbermann would spend so much money on so he could, you know what I mean? Like have people over his house and be like, hey, what do you think of this gravy boat? Notice the T on the side? I bought this for $20,000 when Letitia James auctioned off everything in Trump Tower.
That's a good idea. Did you just come up with that?
I just came up with that idea.
Okay. Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
Thanks.
Hey, everyone. We really appreciate your support on everywhere, Patreon, everywhere else. But one of the things that really helps us is if you rate and review us on iTunes or Apple Podcasts or any of the places that you listen to us, you know, Stitcher, Spotify. But I think Apple Podcasts is probably the one. So if you can leave us a review, we'd really appreciate that.
Time for a predictive portfolio update, Johnny.
Yeah.
Well, what do we have here? Who will win the 2024 U.S. presidential election? Donald Trump and Joe Biden are tied at 47 cents. As everyone knows, I have 155 shares no in Donald Trump. Those are quite underwater. I also have 100 shares no in Gavin Newsom. Those are up. Maybe I'll sell these Gavin Newsom shares at 94, which I bought at 88. Let me just get rid of these real quick for simplicity's sake. Sometimes when there are too many numbers, I lose track of what's really important, the numbers. Let me get rid of those. But now, if we're talking underwater, Captain Nemo, come grab your submarine. It's time to talk about 2024 Republican presidential nominee market. John, last week, Donald Trump and Joe Biden both secured enough delegates to get their party's nominations. Donald Trump currently trading at 93 cents to be the Republican presidential nominee.
Mm-hmm.
Your boy, Kid Midas, still proudly holding 800 shares no. Average price paid, 51 cents. Current price for no, 7 cents. Does that mean I've lost a substantial amount of money? Indeed it does, folks. Does that mean I'm going to cuck out and sell these no shares? Absolutely not. I'm going to stand athwart history yelling, "Deez nuts," because I still believe Stormy Daniels will scuttle Donald Trump's GOP nomination. What do you think about that? Isn't that cool how much I believe in myself?
Are you doing do you really believe in yourself, or are you just doing this for content?
I still have to believe, let's say. I'm compelled to believe that something will happen between now and the summer where they'll... Isn't that cool? Is it cool that I believe that? I don't know if I'm doing a bit anymore. Sometimes I can't tell if I'm doing a bit. I'm not sure I have an authentic self anymore. Are you allowed to say that on a podcast?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
I don't know. No, I mean, I think it's worth holding the money in it.
Are you in the Republican VP nominee market? I'm looking at that. I am killing it.
Oh, really?
In that
let's
market.
Talk about that then. I talk about this Trump bullshit all the time. It's boring as hell. Let's talk about that.
Let's see. I have I only have $130 in this market.
Okay.
And I'm up $151.
God damn.
Yeah, with a max payout of $600.
The only person I have shares in is Tim Scott, of course. I paid 16 cents on average, and he's up to 20, so I'm loving that. Your fave, Kristi Noem, now in trouble because she did a TV commercial for a Texas dentist or something. Did you see that?
She's doing a lot of those commercials. She's done a few others for other businesses.
Are you supporting all the businesses now to drive up her price and her profile so that you'll make money on her in the VP market?
Let's see. I've got 325 shares on her at no. I'm no on everybody, you know.
How is Tulsi Gabbard at 12 cents? That's not happening.
No. Do you think that strand of gray hair that Tulsi Gabbard has is I think it's real, but do you think – sorry, it's probably unbecoming to talk about this.
I didn't even know she had a strand of gray hair.
Yeah. She's got this really cool strand of gray hair. I was wondering if she's just gray everywhere and that she has dyed her hair and then just left that one strand.
Special guest Don Lemon has joined us on Election Profit Makers to discuss when women are past their prime.
Yeah. That's – Look, last week we talked about how Biden looked horrible and that his face was gaunt and that his plastic surgery hadn't gone well. So I like to think that we are equal opportunity when it comes to talking about people's appearances.
We can also talk about our shitty ass appearances because you look like shit right now on this Zoom call. And I look like shit too.
I know. I agree. I'm looking.
Look at my
I look
eyes
like I was
red.
Ridden
I got
hard
my
and put up wet.
Fucking chin. Drip it. My chin looks like it's like a gravy making machine. It's disgusting.
Who, your chin?
Yeah. I got these bags under my eyes. Good Lord. I'm going to have to pay extra when I fly Delta next week. Because of these bags under my eyes. They're going to say, excuse me, you're limited to 2 carry-on items. That's what they're going to say to me. Mark my words, folks.
Back to my portfolio here. Where I'm making most of my money is that I was able to get Vivek Ramaswamy.
And he is officially out, right? Isn't the word that he's not in the running anymore?
Yeah.
Poor Vivek.
So I was able to buy no on him at 85.
Oh my God, that's great. He's at 97.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah. So I got Haley at 87. She's at 95.
I can't believe Tim Scott is leading this market. I love it. Never give up.
Yeah, I'm actually down on him.
20 cents, Tim Scott. What if it's Tim Scott? It might be Tim Scott.
It could be Tim
Scott.
Should
I buy more Tim Scott at 21 cents? That feels a little dicey.
I'm going to buy no on Tulsi.
Tulsi Gabbard, no at 89 cents?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
500 shares.
God damn, I love it. You're back in it.
Not 89. I'm going to try to get it for a little bit cheaper. 87. 86. That's what I'm going to go for. All right. Just put the offer in. Isn't that exciting? I love it when we do that.
You like doing it. It's like your pet peeve when we do it in real time, but I think it makes for compelling audio drama.
Okay. All right.
Listen, we're not talking about true crime or people getting chopped up and murdered or anything like that. All so right. We have to create our own drama. And our drama is buying predicted shares in real time with awkward silence as we wait for the transaction to go through. And there's nothing wrong with that, Johnny.
Okay, I'm going to buy some no on Sarah Sanders as well.
I can't believe I'm $400 underwater on fucking Donald Trump. This guy has sucked up so much of my energy and money. He's truly one of a kind.
Yeah.
This is good stuff. So what are you buying right now, John? What are you doing?
400 shares of Sarah H. Sanders. No.
How much?
95 cents.
You don't usually do that. You don't usually buy anything past 90 because you say the return isn't worth it.
Yeah, but it's negative risk. It's actually giving me money back when I do
right.
this.
Okay.
So I just did that. It's giving me $18 on her. So yeah, I need to keep going in and you know, evening it out. Elise Stefanik.
New York's own Elise Stefanik.
I'm going to buy some more no on her.
Do it. I won't cut it. Do it in real time. This gives me a chance to like relax and rest.
Okay. I'm going to buy 200 more shares.
Take your time, folks.
At
this is where
90
we back
cents.
Just let the podcast breathe.
That one's not giving me any money. That's taking money from me. I don't want to do that one then.
Change your mind and take your time.
I think I'm just going to buy 100.
Mines are like parachutes. They only function when open. Election profit makers.
Okay, I'm buying 100 shares. It's going to credit me $9.
Thoughts are like electricity. They can power revolutions or they can scald. They can electrocute you. Sayings from the mind of a sage. Election profit makers.
When does your class start?
Oh, should we talk about that?
Yeah, we are.
Our friend John reached out to me and said, I know you love the numbers. I know you love listening to the numbers. Check out this class about the numbers. I'm going to be taking, for the month of April, an online course on the philosophy and history of the numbers. I'm going to learn about these fucking numbers once and for all. And rest assured, I will keep all of you, our beloved listeners, fully in the loop when it comes to the nature of these numbers. Because I have one goal in 2024, and that is to conquer these damn numbers and get to the bottom of them once and for all. Are the numbers real? What are the numbers doing? All that stuff. This class is custom made for me, it seems, and I'm going to take it. I think it's a Zoom class. So I'm going to have to look presentable to the class. And I ask all my questions about the numbers and be a good listener. And there's going to be assigned reading and everything. I can't remember the last time I took a class.
Yeah.
I remember what it's like. You know, a class? It's going to be challenging. I think it's 6 weeks. 6 weeks of nothing but numbers.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Time for old kid Midas to shake the cobwebs off his brain and start to become smart again. I used to be smart. Now I'm dumb and I want to get back to being smart. That's it. That's the episode.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
Keep going.
Nope. Speaking of being smart.
Oh, God, this guy's such a king. Guys, it's time for the North Carolina Limelight Update 2024. Is North Carolina's time to shine? We have four items this week about the NC Limelight. The first is Michelle Morrow. Do you know who that is, John?
Yes.
This woman is really, she's something else.
Yeah. She's the Republican nominee, yeah, for the superintendent of public instruction.
The head of the schools in North Carolina State. They nominated a woman who homeschools her kids and said Obama should be killed. Like, there's a lot of heavy stuff coming out of her like Facebook account. Just like Mark Robinson, she really came to prominence as just like a right-wing lunatic shit poster.
Yeah, Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah, the same thing, right. I don't know, do you think she would win? Again, this is why North Carolina is in the limelight. So much comes down to North Carolina this year. It's unbelievable. John, you're living in like the center of the political universe this year.
Yes, it feels like North Carolina is the center of the political universe. And it has been for a while. I guess that's good.
Look, here's another thing on our list of North Carolina limelight updates. New York Times article, huge article about Mark Robinson. Classic New York Times headline. The GOP flamethrower with a right-wing vision for North Carolina. Mark Robinson, the Republican nominee for governor, has a long history of inflammatory statements. He has also called for weaving a conservative religious beliefs into the fabric of government. all eyes are on North Carolina. I wish I was. If I was a North Carolina political consultant this year, would I be making very much money hand over fist?
Pat McCrory, former governor, stepped down as the national co-chair of No Labels,
the political party that is yet to decide who their nominee will be or even how they're going to decide on who a nominee will be, right?
So why do you think he stepped down? I think the word is that he stepped down because he didn't agree that they were going to continue to try to field a ticket.
Pat McCrory leaves with a legendary quote that will be inscribed in the hall of immortal political quotes. He said, people want, quote, common sense solutions to some very complex issues that are being kicked down the road. Mm. That could be our motto. That's what we want. Common sense solutions to very complex issues that are being kicked down the road. And Pat McCrory couldn't find solutions to those issues via No Labels. So he left.
But the big news this week in North Carolina.
Yeah, you wanted to really speak on this because this one hits closest to home for you.
Is Jeff Jackson.
He is our North Carolina limelighter of the week. Jeff Jackson. Remind everybody who Jeff Jackson is and why you're obsessed with him and what he did this week.
Jeff Jackson is a congressman in North Carolina, and he is this will be his last term. He'll be running for attorney general because they have gerrymandered away his district. And Jeff Jackson, as everyone knows, is very famous on TikTok. He's very annoying to me because he seems like he's a little too polished. He's he feels like he's a creation of AI. But Jeff Jackson went out and said last week that he was going to vote for this TikTok ban bill, which he explained is not a ban. It's actually just a bill that forces the Chinese parent company ByteDance to divest. But if they don't divest, then they would be banned in the United States. And the people of TikTok.
Were the young people liking that?
No, they were not. They really were very upset by that. And they pushed back really hard. And so Jeff Jackson has completely backed down.
God, he shouldn't have backed down.
He's got here. I've got it right here.
The State of the Union. I apologize. I did not handle this situation well from top to bottom, and that is why I have been completely roasted on this app over the last 48 hours, and I get it. If I were in your shoes, I would probably feel the same way. I would see someone who used this app to build a following and then appears to have voted against it, and I would be upset, and I would feel like I deserved more of an explanation. So here goes. I like this app. I've been able to reach a lot of people and hear directly from them, and it's been great. I'm also in Congress, and I've been a part of some briefings about this app that were genuinely alarming. When I was reading the bill, the part I agreed with was the part that tries to force a sale, because I figured this would just be a better app if we didn't have to worry about the stuff that comes with it being potentially controlled by an adversarial government. The part I didn't like was the part that threatens a ban. Half the country is on this app. It has become a force for good in the lives of millions of people.
See, he didn't say any of that stuff last time. Now he's like, I really think it's a good app. Yeah, it's a good app.
Oh, man. Why did he back down? He should have just been like, can't you people understand two things are true at the same time?
Yeah.
I exploited this app to become famous, and also it's toxic and we should get rid of it or change the owner.
No, that's too complex. That's too complex.
Oh, Jeff Jackson. What's he get? Now he's trying to run for attorney general.
Yeah. Now he's going to lose.
Because no one under the age of 40 is going to vote for him.
That's right. Not that they ever vote anyhow, but he lost 200,000 followers on TikTok. So he had to apologize.
Oh, Jeff Jackson, what have you done?
I understand why you're upset. I would be upset with me too.
That's bad.
I'm Jeff Jackson.
He shouldn't have said that. He should have said, this app sucks. We should all leave it. It's bad for our mental health unless you watch exclusively street fashion TikTok. The only good TikTok. I'm Jeff Jackson. Vote for me or die. That's what he should have said.
Isn't TikTok just the same as Instagram Reels and all that? Like, I'll spend hours on Instagram Reels thinking I'm on TikTok.
Oh, you get confused where you are?
Yeah. And then I'm just like, oh, I'm not even on TikTok. But I'm watching the same influencers, the same videos. Like, I understand TikTok is much more dangerous because the Chinese government theoretically can like turn a switch and then just make us all start fighting one another or whatever.
I guess so. I haven't really had that experience on TikTok, at least that I've recognized. When people talk about the Chinese government influencing us via TikTok, I've never seen, as far as I know, like anti-Taiwan TikTok or anti-Hong Kong democracy TikTok. I've never seen anything that feels obviously like Chinese propaganda, but maybe
I think it could be much more subtle than that, that they're just trying to
make me hate all other Americans.
Yeah. Or they're just pushing things about Gaza, things that could very well be true,
right,
you know?
Yeah.
And they're just pushing them to a certain cohort and then introducing things about, now this is why you shouldn't vote for Biden,
or this is why it's like the Russian model, just like make everyone in America hate each other. Yeah. And they could all get fractured.
Yeah. Now this isn't me saying, oh, well, the other social media companies are good.
Uh-huh.
No, Instagram, Facebook, Meta, that's bad what they're doing. But it's not an adversarial country that could potentially be pushing buttons behind the scene. And that's what Jeff Jackson, I think, is saying that he's seen in these briefings, that they are doing those type of things and that he can't discuss that.
Right.
Now, I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. But I'm thinking, why do we need TikTok? Can't we do these little short videos on other platforms?
I think TikTok's algorithm is better and its interface is better.
Okay.
I don't know. Do you think all social media should be banned? Wouldn't that be interesting?
It'd be nice if we went back to forums and message boards and things like that. I think the randomness of social media, the bouncing back and forth with people that aren't necessarily – that you haven't built – a community with is bad.
Hmm.
Like in the old days when I was just like discussing Carolina basketball and the Inside Carolina message boards, we all knew who one another was and we had all built a relationship over time. And when I was first introduced to those forums, I was a young guy and I was listening to the old heads that had been there, you know, in the 50s and the 60s, and they were talking about this or that. And I knew to kind of stay quiet and listen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, yeah, the way social media is, we're all bouncing back and forth over one another. And I realize I'm having a argument with someone that's like 16. And it's not their fault.
Do you feel cool when you realize that? Do you feel cool? And
yeah. And I'm like, oh, okay. My bad. We don't need to be having this conversation because it's not your fault, but you just have no idea what you're talking about because you're 16.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about things that have happened years ago or whatever, you know,
mm-hmm.
But you're not on any of this stuff anymore. And I won't be soon. As soon as basketball is over, I'm off Twitter.
I remember that. I remember your famous pledge from a couple episodes ago. You still going to hold to that pledge?
Yeah, I'm going to hold to that. It doesn't mean that I'm not going to be on like Threads or Blue Sky or whatever and checking those things out, but I'll be out of Twitter.
All right.
Twitter's made it actually kind of easy because it's so terrible now.
So let's transition to basketball.
Okay.
We had the ACC tournament. Congratulations to NC State. First ACC title in, 37 years?
Yep.
They beat UNC. And now March Madness begins, the most wonderful time of the year. John, have you made your March Madness bracket for basketball?
No, I haven't. But can we just talk about NC State for a second, what NC State did? It's pretty spectacular. Carolina has not won an ACC tournament championship in 8 years, a really long time. And I think it was important, and I wanted them to be able to win with Duke bowing out early and then NC State making the championship game, playing its fifth game in 5 days. I thought Carolina, as the number one seed, had a very good chance of beating State. But State was just this, you know, they had this magical run, and they ended up becoming only the second team ever to win 5 games in 5 days. The last team that did that was in 2011. UConn did that, winning the Big East. And State is the first team in any Power Six conference that has won a championship with a seed of 10 or lower.
Really?
And they did it winning 5 games in 5 days, going through the top three seeds in Virginia, Duke, and North Carolina. So it was pretty incredible. And winning their first ACC championship in 37 years. And I remember, I just wanted to say that I remember when they won in 1987, because that Carolina team was 14-0. They were undefeated in the ACC, and they were going to go 17-0 and win the ACC championship. It was going to be exciting. And that was in the height of, t-shirt stuff for us.
T-shirt stuff?
I made an ACC championship t-shirt.
When we were like making our own t-shirts.
Yeah. So it was a Sunday and I had made an ACC championship t-shirt. Because
you
I knew
hand
we were
painted a North a UNC yes. AC. Wow. Yes, I still remember this. All right.
Not very cool, but I'm
pretty cool.
So I had this. It was, you know, ACC champions, 17-0, undefeated, blah, 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 blah. And then we lost to State.
What did you do with the t-shirt?
I kid you not. I still wore the t-shirt. I went to MYF, the youth group.
Methodist Youth Fellowship, our church youth group.
That night, and I wore the t-shirt, but before I went, I added regular season at the bottom of the t-shirt.
Good for you. Good for you.
ACC champions, regular season.
They were the regular season ACC the champions regular before you get to the actual ACC championship.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
So
NC State is now going to be in the NCAA tournament.
That's right. They're an automatic qualifier for winning the conference tournament. And they'll be in.
How far will they get? I kind of want to root for NC State now. It's kind of exciting. It's crazy.
I think they play Texas Tech in the first round. I think they'll win that game. And then if they win that, they might play Kentucky. I don't know. I mean, State took care of business against Carolina.
I watched the game at a bar and everyone kind of agreed like, well, you can't really hate them too much. Like, you can't say they didn't earn it.
No. Losing in 1987, 37 years ago to them, that was way more disappointing than this time. I was just like, good for you guys. That's awesome. So March Madness starts. The play-in games, the games in Dayton start tonight. We have a Election Profit Makers bracket pool that we've done.
Are we doing that? We're doing that again?
Yeah, 3 years in a row. One of our listeners who's on Discord, she has organized it. Ainsley Street is her username on Discord. She has set it up for us, and I have a Bitly link. It's bit.ly/EPM Madness.
I'm sorry, John. Is that uppercase or lowercase or a mix?
It's all lowercase.
All lowercase.
bit.ly/EPM Madness, and you too can get into that EPM bracket pool. And show everyone how smart you are.
Man, I guess I have to do my bracket.
Yeah, do your bracket, man. My bracket!
What's the deadline for filling out my bracket?
I think even though it starts tonight with those play-in games, generally they don't... You can get in after those. I'd get it in tonight or, you know, by tomorrow.
I'm picking Paul Manafort to win it all as Trump's campaign chair. That's my prediction.
Okay.
What do you think about that?
I think that's good.
I'm going to pick Wrong Way to make it to the finals.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm not picking Carolina. I don't think Carolina.
Psychological hedging here.
No,
here
it's not.
Here we go, the master of psychological hedging.
No, it's not. I think this Carolina team could go to the Final Four, but I've thought all year long that this team is not one of the top two, three, four.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they did get a one seed. It's the 18th one seed all time for Carolina, more than any other program. So that's exciting. But I haven't done my picks yet, though.
Good luck to all bands. Hollywood update. I saw a movie that I was very excited to see based on the trailer that I saw. It's called Love Lies Bleeding. John, have you heard of this movie?
Nope.
Well, one of the characters is a female bodybuilder. There's some heavy stuff going on in this movie. It wasn't quite as good as I was hoping it would be. I kind of felt like the director did not know how to end this movie. And it kind of went off the rails thematically at the very end. I'm not talking about the end that you think I'm talking about if you've seen this movie. I'm talking about the very end. I didn't like how they wrapped it up, but it's a tricky situation given the morality of the characters, I think. But then again, sometimes I think maybe I'm not smart enough to understand what's going on and my sense of morality is too childlike for maybe they were trying to do something more sophisticated. You never think that, John? Sometimes you're like too dumb to understand a movie.
Yeah. Yeah. That's when you go on Rotten Tomatoes and then they'll explain it to you maybe.
Yeah. I got to read a review to figure out how I feel about this movie.
Yeah, figure out. But never read a review beforehand.
No?
No, something that'll color it for you.
If you're a Patreon member, go to the Discord in the Movie Club section and tell me if...
What's going on?
Tell me what's going on with Love Lies Bleeding. The opening shot and the opening title sequence, I was so amped. It was great.
Who's in it?
Kristen Stewart or Kirsten Stewart?
Yeah.
And Ed... what's his name? Oh, God, what's his
name? Ed from Ohio?
Not Ed from Ohio. It's... He's so freaking famous. He's been in a million...
Eddie Vedder?
No, he's not a musician.
Eddie.
He's not a guitar player, and he's not the Iron Maiden mascot. Let me look it up real quick. Everyone knows who I'm talking about, because he's super famous. And his name is...
Ed Whalen? Is that a person?
Ed Harris.
Ed Harris. God.
Sorry, yeah. Everybody. Ed Harris. Do you know Ed who that Harris. Is?
I think he played an astronaut in Apollo 13.
John, I think you're right. I think you're right.
He's probably played some other things since then.
Anyway, that's the Hollywood update. Listener questions. Jeff writes in, I'm from Oregon. Wait, is it Oregon? How did we decide how to say this damn thing? Oregon?
Yeah, it's been decided.
What is it? I can't remember.
It's Oregon.
Jeff says, I'm from Oregon, and I loved UCLA basketball growing up. So I enjoyed the Bruins college basketball team. Long story short, I cried when UCLA lost to Louisville in the NCAA championship game around 1980. Here's my question for John. You mentioned that Danny Manning was from North Carolina and played high school basketball there. How did Dean Smith not successfully recruit him and allow him to escape to Kansas? Wasn't there something fishy about his dad joining the Kansas coaching staff? He says, apologies to David for this focus on basketball, but since EPM is no longer an election betting or investing podcast, I figured this departure was okay. All right, John, speak to Jeff. What's up with Danny Manning? Explain who Danny Manning is.
Okay, well, he is right about 1980. UCLA did lose to Louisville in 1980. And Larry Brown, who used to be a player at UNC under Dean Smith, was the coach at UCLA. And that game in 1980 that UCLA lost is vacated now because Larry Brown... Suitcase Larry, as they call him, he likes to move around a lot, and he tends to leave the programs that he departs in NCAA trouble. Okay, so I'm only mentioning that because Larry Brown then went to Kansas and was the coach at Kansas, and yes, he was able to get Danny Manning to go to Kansas by hiring Danny Manning's dad to be an assistant coach there. I don't know if it was illegal or not, but it was a little shady. And also, I said last week that Danny Manning went to Grimsley. It was Page that he went to. So yeah, that is how Dean Smith lost on Danny Manning and how Larry Brown ended up getting a national championship at Kansas. And that one was not vacated. Though when Larry Brown left Kansas, they did go on probation for a little bit. So there you go. David, did you love that? I'd love to talk basketball. I'd love to talk.
I know. You really enjoy it. It's fun to listen to.
Okay. You don't look like you're having fun.
I'm doing research.
Okay. All right. Are you looking up when Danny Manning was in?
No. Let's move on to our next question.
I think Kansas was a six seed.
I think that's right. I think they were a six seed. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
It might have been a seven seed, but I think they were a six seed.
I feel like they were a six seed.
I remember their inside game was really strong.
Yeah.
And that's probably why they were a six seed and not like a nine seed.
Yeah.
The nets that they cut down will be treasured by all basketball fans in Kansas.
So I was talking to my buddy Greg, who's a listener today about cutting down nets. We were trying to figure out what year did they start cutting down nets, because I think that was around in the 50s. Everett Case at NC State, I believe he was the one that started that tradition. But what year did they start using a ladder to cut down the nets?
Would someone please ask me a question about guitar pedals? Write to contact@electionprofitmakers.com. I think the balance of power with listener questions, it's all messed up. Let's get some good pedal questions in here.
And if anyone knows when people started, because when I was a kid, they would just hold you up and you would cut the net down. But then at some point, they started using a ladder.
So again, any guitar pedal, guitar effects questions, write contact@electionprofitmakers.com. Who was the first person to use a guitar pedal while standing on a ladder? When did that start? We should figure that out. John, let's move on.
All right.
Philip writes in, there's been a lot of media attention about Mark Robinson. This is true. This is what the North Carolina limelight is all about for 2024. But I wanted to share some incredible numbers about Mark Robinson that nobody seems to be talking about. According to an article in the News and Observer about his challenging upbringing, Mark Robinson's father was 71 years old when he was born. Mark Robinson was born in August 1968, meaning that he is 55 years old and his father was born in the 1800s. This is true, guys. Thank you, Philip. It's possible, Philip says, given the state of our democracy and how old everyone is in it. But I wonder if even our oldest politicians have such a direct familial relation to the 19th century. Folks, let's pray on this for a moment. Let's give this our prayerful consideration. Mark Robinson's dad was born in the 19th century, and he's trying to become the governor of North Carolina in the 21st century. How about that? That's wild, right?
Yeah, it is.
Mark Robinson. He said that if every day in school, in homeroom, everybody sang Amazing Grace and prayed to God, we could get rid of school shootings.
Do you think he was serious when he said that?
I think he was, and I think we should try it. I think it's worth trying that if it really works.
I don't have a problem with that.
I would be open to that.
Yeah. I don't think it would work, honestly.
You don't?
No, but I think I'd be willing to give it a shot.
Amazing Grace, like one of the slowest songs. Would kids really sing that? You should pick a better hymn, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, A Wretch. That's one of the songs that says wretch, that saved a wretch like me.
Mm-hmm.
God damn, you're dissing yourself so hard when you sing that song, right? Was that grace very amazing? Because were you very much of a piece of shit who got saved? You were like so wretched. Then this amazing grace comes down and saves you. Yeah. Oh my God. Maybe they should sing it all the time just for the hell of it. It's an interesting song.
Yeah.
Thematically, it's an interesting song. Mm-hmm. Anyway, yes, Mark Robinson's father, who apparently was an abusive monster, was born in the 1890s.
Mm.
Just the guy whose son will carry North Carolina into the 21st century with liberty and justice for all.
That is interesting. The 1890s. Yeah, my grandfather was born in 1913.
Mm.
His father was born before my
Well, that's what happens when you have a son at 71 years old. I truly did not know that was possible. To become a father at 71?
Yeah.
That's some heavy stuff, man. That's some heavy stuff. May we all be so lucky and be so blessed as to father children in our 70s. What a gift that must be, you know?
Mm-hmm.
To attend their kindergarten graduation. John, do we have any bird recordings that we can talk about?
Yes. Khalil wrote in and said, attached, you will find a field recording of grackles congregating in the parking lot of Central Market in Dallas, Texas. Grackles are in the top five meanest-looking birds. In New England, they typically hang out in smaller numbers, 2 to 3, often alongside English sparrows. The situation in Texas is entirely different. Flocks of hundreds or thousands of grackles, called a plague, will straight up take over an entire city block, or in this case, parking lot. I've also attached a few photographs of the scene.
These grackles have truly taken over these trees.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Let's listen to these grackles from Khalil. And we're back. Stephanie writes in, this morning I woke up to the toughest road signs empty bracket. This was a Patreon exclusive, the Tournament of Toughest Road Signs. I couldn't have been more excited. I've been a Patreon for 2 years and I've never once regretted this decision. You guys promise and deliver. Thank you, Stephanie. So I've decided I would send you this bird recording that I've been sitting on for a few weeks. It is of a common minor bird mimicking other birds. I think I can hear a few other park bird calls in there. But there's also some sounds that remind me of a barking dog, a duck, a clicking dolphin, and some kind of space gun. In terms of what city birds can do, I think that's pretty tough. Maybe even bad boy behavior. I hope the recording is clear enough and that you can ignore the other bird that eventually starts calling in the background. That one is a gray treepy and sounds like weed wookit briefly. All right, John, let's listen to this Stephanie's recording of a mina bird.
That's awesome.
God, that bird is doing a lot.
What is that roar in the background? Is that just the city or is that water?
I think it's a road probably. Don't you think?
I don't know.
But damn, that bird is going off.
Yeah.
Imagine being as talented as a mina bird. Think on that. I invite you all to think on that and consider that.
Okay.
John, I think we're just about done with this episode. I'm kind of tempted to have you read the credits. How do you feel about that?
I can do
that. Oh, but one more thing. Before you read the credits, guys, what's the bit.ly for the bracket?
bit.ly/EPM madness, all lowercase.
bit.ly/EPM madness, all lowercase.
That's right. And if you played last year, I think it'll still have your information in there. If you didn't play last year, just sign up. And we'll have to figure out I can't remember what we did for the winner last year. Maybe we gave...
Did we send a prize?
I don't know if we did that or not, but we should do that.
We'll send a prize this year. We'll figure it out. We'll definitely send a prize this year.
Yes. Election Profit Makers is an independent production. We welcome your support on Patreon at patreon.com/electionprofitmakers. If you sign up for Patreon, you'll receive some wonderful EPM stickers in the mail. You'll also get an invite code to our private Discord. Send your election prediction questions, skyline request, bird recordings, guitar pedal things
to
contact@electionprofitmakers.com. And if you want to advertise with us, that same email, contact@electionprofitmakers.com.
Thank you and goodbye.
Goodbye.